Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Alrighty, hour number two, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney back to it in the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. It's where we hang out every day, 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. And we'll get back to the phones, which are lit up, obviously, with the AB stuff here. What should the Pats do? What will they do? 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, of course, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, which is where you'll find our poll question. And according to the lawsuit filed Tuesday in the Southern District of Florida, Pats wideout Antonio Brown has been accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer. Now, in light of the development, as the league acquires more information, what should the Pats do with Brown? Play him or sit him? And right now, 65% of you are saying that he needs to sit. Bob Stoops will join us next segment. Teak, we'll break away from the AB stuff a little bit, do a little college football, inbounds, out of bounds this hour as well. You know, the only thing that I'm a little uncomfortable with, and I don't want to keep taking calls and not address this, so maybe I could do it preemptively now for anybody else. Because a few people have said this, you know, why don't women come forward? We've heard that. That's a popular refrain, and it's very unfair, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, there's myriad examples, but let me just give you an example that I'm sure has happened many times in our world. Woman's married. She's happily married. Mm-hmm. Or she has a decent marriage, or she has a horrendous marriage. It's almost irrelevant.
Or she's about to get married.
True, but she's married. Oh, yeah, but I'm saying for my model, she's married.
Mm-hmm.
And she's at a work function. You know, you have a couple of drinks, co-worker, somebody that she knows somewhat, makes a move on her. Unfortunately, something happens, and she's raped. Okay? She is probably incredibly fearful for her reputation to her husband, to her family name, to divulge this publicly. That's just one example.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, why don't women come forward? I think it's so inherently unfair because you can't possibly relate to it.
Yeah, the circumstances are very different. It's easy to say this is what I would do, but you're not in that situation.
And your whole life changes if you come forward.
Of course. Well, it changes in the moment after whatever incident happened, but it definitely changes if you become public and the person you're accusing is a well-known figure, as is the case with his accusation against Antonio Brown.
Yep, just wanted to get that out. All right, back to the phones, T. See what's happening. Syracuse Pete is on 1360 AM. What's up, Pete? How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you guys? I love listening to you guys' show.
Appreciate you, man.
Gets me through my day. So I grew up in the United Nations of football fans, so everybody in my family was a different football fan. I really do believe that the Patriots probably are taking this the right way. He's presumed innocent. We seem to forget that. They're allowing him to let the court system take its toll and let the investigation take place. However, I mean, we don't know the stipulations behind the one-year agreement besides, you know, his actions with the Raiders. I'm a huge Raiders fan. But, I mean, I think, you know, the timing of this situation, we don't know. Like you just said, she could have been embarrassed, things like that. I mean, I think the timing of the situation was a little – for. You know, the court of popular opinion is a little sketchy, but at the same time, Patriots, I think, are doing the right thing and allowing him to practice and letting the courts take and the investigation go forward.
Yep.
And the NFL is going to do what it needs to do when all they get all the proper information like they've done before.
Yeah, and that's all they can do. It's all they can do, Pete. You know, they can only work with what they can find out. It's very similar to a criminal investigation or a police investigation. You got to be able to find out details. And Brittany Taylor is supposed to speak with the NFL next week, I believe. But here's a deeper question to move this and advance it down the line,
mm-hmm.
BT. Antonio Brown legitimately is one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen.
Yep.
He's athletic. He's fast. He's got football IQ. He's got the contortionist ability to make bad ball catches, and he's always making big plays.
So he's durable.
He's durable. He doesn't miss a game. Even when he's hurt, he plays.
Nope.
Even though he was a Steeler, and I was a Giants fan, and had no rooting interest, he was a guy I enjoyed watching playing. Right, despite all the nonsense and the you know, the antics and the whatever it is he was doing. And even if he was still on the Oakland Raiders and none of this had happened and all that had gone on with the Oakland Raiders, from the helmet thing and the foot thing and, you know, the release in the video of John Gruden, I'd actually still enjoy watching him on Sundays just because he's so damn good at what he does. And for the longest time, I felt like, okay, yeah, he's a knucklehead and he's disruptive to his locker room, but if they can deal with it and he can play, then good. I wonder if the way that things have started to cascade for him and opinions about him have shifted so wildly. Like before, it didn't matter that I didn't, you know, like him. It didn't matter. I still wanted to watch. Even though I didn't like him, I still wanted to watch him. It's almost getting to the point now where you definitely don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And do you even want to watch him anymore?
No, I never want to watch him play again.
And it's interesting because that's what's flipping. So as much as we're talking about all these other things that have gone on and the you know, this allegation that's now, you know, public and being investigated and talked about in the court of public opinion, it's almost like you don't want to see him anymore. You almost want him to go away. And it's in some ways unfair to his talent and to him, but it's where this is going. This is the danger of being on this roller coaster that's perpetually going the wrong way now for Antonio Brown. There's no ups because he's not playing. He's not on the field. So there's nothing to say, oh, man, did you see the catch? There's none of that up stuff.
Nothing to divert our attention.
Exactly. It's all like a downward, the never-ending drop before, you know, before the ascent comes back up. It's almost like he needs to go away in order for us to stop thinking about all the negativity around Antonio Brown.
Might be in his best interest for the league to put him on the exempt list here. Get paid, you know, get paid while they sort this out.
Yes.
That's a fair take, Teak. I don't want to watch him because I don't think he's a good guy. I don't think he's a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love individuality. I love the ability to express oneself. I love artistic freedom, you know, whether it's the celebrations, the hairstyles, the jewelry outside of the watch. I mean, I love young athletes being young athletes because, quite frankly, when I was young, I had that is going to sound ridiculous, but like an energy. Like, I enjoyed kind of being a little expressive myself. Granted, in my little tiny athletic bubble, which was nothing, but I always athletes with style always resonated with me. That's what I'm trying to say. And I love that, all right? Until I look at you and I say, I don't think you're a good person. Then I never want to see you.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch you play anymore because I don't think you're good for society right now. I don't. I'm sorry. Jenny's in Wisconsin. This is a very interesting angle. Jenny is on 107.5 FM. Jenny, how are you today? What's going on, Jenny?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
We're good.
Okay.
I was listening to the allegations that you were just reading off, and I have to say, I personally have been raped. This was 30, 40 years ago. I personally did not want to be around this person ever again. I tried to avoid that person by any cost. And for this woman to freely go near him a second and third time, to me personally, and this is just my opinion, he's got money. That's all she wants. She wants to make a name for herself. And now I can't say whether he did or didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But he's got money, and that's what I think a lot of women come forward for. And I don't believe that they always are raped. I think they just see dollar signs, and that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I personally did not come forward because I was in high school at the time, you know, and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know
the situation was a little different, but...
You knew the accused or the perpetrator, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually was dating him, and that was the last time I dated him.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. That's a hard story.
I appreciate your candor, Jenny.
Pardon?
No, I said I appreciate you.
Yeah,
candor.
That's a hard story to share.
Yep.
It took a long time to be able to talk about it out loud, but yeah, it is a lot more freeing once you do talk about it. But the simple fact that I didn't know what to do because I was young.
Yeah.
The person, you know, was in high school as well, but I don't see dollar signs. That's personally me. I have had a relationship with a former football player, but that was just goofing around type thing. And I don't see dollar signs, and I didn't say anything about it because it was just all in fun.
And it was consensual. You know, and most importantly, it was consensual.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you.
Exactly.
Wow.
But
yeah.
if I were this person and thought, oh, gee, dollar signs, I could have made the whole thing up, too. So who knows?
Well, here's the
thing,
Jenny.
Maybe she made it up.
Yeah. You know what, Jenny? And sincerely, thank you for the call.
Yeah,
and
thank you for sharing your story a little bit.
Yeah, you sound like you somehow have gotten to a pretty decent space where you can at least...
Stable point in your existence. Yeah, that's hard.
Great words. Yeah. Great stable word. Great word. You sharing that is very big of you. I can't say you're right. I can't say you're wrong. There's definitely monetary reasons. There are absolutely fabrications, fake rape, and false claims happens all the time. Not just about rape, domestic abuse. I mean, there are just lies that people throw out there. I don't know what happened here. I don't know.
No, and I almost don't even want to know. And that's the point I was getting to, because it's going to force us to reevaluate Antonio Brown again and bring him back into the conversation again, which is why he needs to just disappear for right now. And I'm not saying, you know, as BT mentioned, rob him of his ability to make a living playing this sport. But it's so bad right now that he needs to not be front and center in the national football. He can't be the talking point of the NFL. And that's all he's been since the beginning, before the beginning of the season. It's been only Antonio Brown.
That's why there's no way he's playing this weekend. Because if you look at what the Patriots have built their foundation of dominance, championship, background on, it's been accountability. It's been minimizing distractions. And it's about pure, unfiltered focus for the job.
Yeah.
And if he's playing this Sunday, and he ain't, but if he's playing this Sunday, you know, he comes back into practice tomorrow. He's going to be in the locker room. Questions come. Brady's going to get hit with this. You know, Gordon's going to get hit with this. All the players are going to get hit with this. Belichick, and he's going to keep, you know, deflecting, and he did a great job. You know, we always make fun of him for deflecting it, but that's the time where you really don't answer the questions because there's nothing you could possibly say. Like us, we don't know. But their level of tolerance will expire fast with this. If this thing drags on, and he's still on the periphery of the team, they'll get rid of him.
Yeah.
They don't tolerate this nonsense.
They don't deal with distractions.
No.
If you're a distraction in any way, fair or unfair, you'll be elsewhere.
That's true. Stay here in, right across the river, New Jersey. And Junior's watching us here on CBS Sports Network. Junior, what's up, buddy?
Hey, pal, how you doing today, first of all?
All right, Junior.
The way
buddy.
The two of you gentlemen handled that phone call from Jenny was so professional. I just have to tip my cap to the two of you.
Appreciate
Difficult
you, JR.
Phone call on a sports show like this, and a tip of the cap to her for making the phone call.
She's a champ. Thanks, buddy.
Guys, one of the things that she brought up that was a key point was she said that the woman, and if it isn't, allegations are allegations, but again, if you were burned by the flame the first time, why do you go back and touch it a second and third and come back today? I think that the legal system has to really decipher what direction this goes to, and I don't think that Brown should be penalized for this. Now, I understand that could be really wrong, but I think that the Patriots are an intelligent enough organization, and the Patriot way will take this to the exact last line of the law, and if they have to cut him and let him loose, go. And I'd also like to touch base on the fact that didn't Tyreek Hill have a problem last year?
Yeah, we heard
when
the recording.
It all go away.
We played the recording on the air.
Yeah, and it's not the same situation, JR, and we appreciate your call. We got to take a break here for a second and get to Bob Stoops, who's on the other side of this break. But, you know, Tyreek Hill had a recording, and so it was an allegation that was backed up by a recording that may have all, but was also somewhat, let's use the word sketchy, because it would sounded like the female on the recording was setting him up and trying to get him to say something that would implicate him. But if you really listen to the whole thing, he goes on to say, you made up all that stuff. So it's even recordings don't give us clarity. Even documentation doesn't give us clarity. And so athletes are targets. We know this, and it's been the case for years. The smart ones don't put themselves in that situation. Antonio Brown has unfortunately put himself in that situation again with something wholly different than what we're used to maligning him about. And again, I'll state it again. This is why he needs to take a break from being in the spotlight of the National Football League, because it's not good for him. and it's not good for the league.
Yeah, he could tweet as much as he wants. Business is booming. No, it's not. Business is imploding. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's happening to him. By the way, we're going to move on. As Teague said, we're going to chat with Bob Stoops coming up, do a little college football. LSU's offense looking pretty lethal. Michigan still trying to solve that quarterback spot. So we might get back to this in the third hour, but certainly go and vote on our Twitter poll question, at Teague and Tierney. What should the Pats do? Should they sit him? Or should they play him based on what we know right now, 4:17 Eastern? Give it a vote, yes or no. Sit or play on Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. So we got Bob Stoops up next, a little college football, mix it up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15%. Or more at Car Insurance. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on the simulcast, Sirius XM Channel 206, Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. Tiki, let's do a little college football now and put the Antonio Brown stuff to the side. Probably get back to it next hour for a little bit here. But college football, off and running, great stories, mystifying stories, and Bob Stoops is with us here. 18 years with the Sooners, nearly 200 wins. Won almost 80% of his games, and Coach Stoops is with us again on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, welcome back. How you been, buddy? What's happening?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on with you.
Always a
back east.
Yeah, no, man, always a pleasure. We want to bounce around. Obviously, we've got to get to LSU, get to Michigan. But I want to ask you this. Sometimes saving a once proud, once dominant program is almost impossible, because once it loses luster in a big conference, then, you know, like parasites, the other coaches, they use that to their advantage, and it's just impossible to resuscitate what was once a giant. How does Tennessee get this thing fixed? What would you do if you were coaching there?
Well, I don't want to jump into somebody else's business. That's not my program. You know, I'm not there to know what's good, bad, or wrong with it or not, you know. So I think a lot of Coach Pruitt, and I, you know, believe they'll be able to get that back and going. But, you know, I can remember I was sitting at Florida watching OU struggle when I was coaching at Florida with Coach Spurrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching them in one of the early games getting wore out by somebody. And I remember pointing to the TV in the Florida locker room, and I said to the other coaches, I go, that's a shame. I go, that is a sleeping giant right there.
Hmm.
That shouldn't be happening, you know, there, Oklahoma getting beat like that. And then fortunately, a few years later, they hired me, and we won a national championship 2 years later.
But how do you change the culture? So yeah. I hear you don't know exactly what's happening at Tennessee, but how do you jumpstart something that's seemingly really quiet?
I go through a lot of that in the book, and I talk about, I used to show my players over and over all the great championship Switzer teams. I would over and over show the players, the great players that we had, the Greg Pruitts, the Selman brothers, Brian Bosworth, on and on and on. And I would constantly tell them, this is who we were supposed to be. This is us. This is Oklahoma. And there's no excuses. It's kind of like the book that if we're not this, you know, so just would constantly try and build them up to on that they deserve to win. We're working hard enough now, and what we're doing to win, you should expect to win. And, you know, just kept trying to, because they were beaten down. My guys were, boy, when we got in their program after 5 years and no win, not having a winning season, our guys were looked down on in the community, on and on and on. So I was trying to build up their self-esteem, their worth, you know, and making sure, though, we were doing the work, you know, to give ourselves a chance to win, too.
Yeah, Bob, your book is, I'm looking forward to reading it. I've had it, but I haven't read it yet. It's called No Excuses, The Making of a Head Coach. And as you were describing showing your players the history of Oklahoma, and it's storied with Brian Bosworth, et cetera, it's almost like you're connecting these young, impressionable minds to history, you know, because the cliche at every place, whether it's Giants in the NFL or the Sooners in Oklahoma, we got to play Oklahoma Sooners football. Some of these 18-year-olds are like, what the hell are you talking about? You know what I mean? But if you connect and show, like, some of the great successes, it makes history come forward, and it's a different way to motivate them.
And they're seeing it and seeing success. And even though, and, you know, they hadn't seen it. And I wanted them to, you know, to see it over and over. And I just believe the more you look at that and see it and understand that this is our program, I need to be that guy. I need to be that team. And little by little, we started to become those kind of teams.
Yep.
Well, it only took the second year. The first year, we won 7 games. The next year, we won them all. So.
Yeah, that was pretty quick.
That's
there,
quick.
Bob. No doubt. You went from 7-5 to what was it, 13-0, 12-0? That's not bad. You kind of paid off the contract. It's Bob Stoops with us here, the former head coach at Oklahoma on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Coach, you know, your book is called Making the Making of a Head Coach, and I'm sure it's talking about you, but you made a pretty good one when you gave Lincoln Riley the helm after you retired and left the game. Did you expect that his continued success to be so profound? I mean, he's had two straight Heisman Trophy winners. He may have 3 with Jalen Hurts, as well as he's playing the star. You know, what is the secret sauce with Lincoln Riley? He seems great.
I did expect it. You know, I knew early on when he was with me working side by side there that this guy has the right poise, the right toughness and competitiveness, incredibly bright, really has a great connection and connects with all the players, you know, whether it's to motivate them or, you know, to understand what they need to do. So a lot of it, I just knew he was going to do well. And truthfully, I knew the team that I, when I walked away, was a very mature, older team that could handle this change and would succeed and do well, and they did. And that's just bled into another year. And he does do an exceptional job with quarterbacks, you know, of playing to their strengths, avoiding their weaknesses, and making a very quarterback-friendly system, you know, for them to have success. So, you know, it's going to continue.
Well, I think we're all curious, Bob, if, you know, Clemson's recent domination, obviously Alabama, if this is going to continue. Seems like this could be a little bit of a different college football season, you know, big picture stuff here. Georgia, obviously, is very good. LSU has an offense that, you know, they cranked out, 500 yards the other day, 4 touchdown passes for the kid. They're vertical. The Sooners right in the mix. We know about the Buckeyes. You know, I am surprised, though, and I know you didn't want to really step into Tennessee's business, so you might be reluctant to step into Michigan's business, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I mean, how does Jim Harbaugh not have a quarterback yet, Bob?
Again, I'm not one to get in other people's business. That's, you know, I'm not at Michigan. I don't know what they're trying to do, so I got a lot of respect for Jim. So,
I do, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, that's not for me to say what their reasons are. I'm sure they have a quarterback, and I'm sure they've got 2 or 3 of them there. So
yeah, they're just not very good. They got to have 5. They're none of them are good.
Well, again, that's for you to say. I'm not out here critiquing everybody else's.
Look at Bob taking the pass on it. Look, he's just coming on the air to sell books. Hey, this guy's taking the pass on everything, Bob. I got to ask you some questions, man.
I've been a head coach. I know what those guys go through, so I'm not going to ever jump on one of them.
Yeah, right. Well, when you do have difficult times like that, how do you pull out of it? You know what I mean? Especially on the recruiting trail. Quarterbacks have been, I think, a big part of Oklahoma's identity, going back to when you were there with Baker and yeah. I mean, even before. Sam Bradford, right? You've had some great quarterbacks.
Josh Heupel.
What's the process? He's turned into a great head coach, too, by the way, Heupel. You know, what's the process of getting head coach or getting great college quarterbacks?
You know, I think as much as anything is just finding guys that really fit what you're going to ask them to do, fit in your system. And, you know, I've had great quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators that have helped me find the right guys. Where we found Sam Bradford, he's an Oklahoma kid, but 3-star guy, didn't have a lot of offers. That guy's as talented as there is, you know, goes on to, you know, win the Heisman Trophy and, you know, led us to the national championship game. So anyway, you know, it's really studying, watching tape and, you know, how's a guy play? How's he fit what we want him to do? When Kyler Murray wanted to transfer to Oklahoma, this is in the book too, we had a couple other players wanted to transfer also from other schools that were graduate transfers. So we sat down, Lincoln and I and Cale Gundy, and watched them all, any games that they had played in. And after we watched them all, I said, Lincoln, what's your opinion? He said, well, I like them all, like meaning they're all really good players. But he said, if Kyler Murray comes to Oklahoma, he can win a Heisman Trophy.
Mm.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
So obviously.
And he did, almost.
The you know, point being is it's a lot of just studying tape and how a guy plays and does he fit what you're going to ask him to do. And you know, it always starts with us. It always has from day one here with Mike Leach was my first coordinator is he has to be a great passer.
Yeah. Accurate.
We're out immediately if he's not a great passer.
Yeah, and we saw him making some throws when they finally got it going against the Lions. Kyler Murray made some big throws. Yeah, I want to ask you, Bob Stoops is with us here, a former head coach of the Sooners. His new book is entitled No Excuses, The Making of a Head Coach. So I have a question about young men and women who want to become coaches. Do you think, Bob, it's more important to be immersed in the sport as a player, as a young, you know, young high school and maybe even college, or to be immersed in the schematics of the game? What's more important?
Oh, I think the schematics of the game for sure. I mean, you know, to having a great understanding of how it works and, you know, all the different schemes is a huge deal. I don't think it ever hurts to have participated in it, you know, but the schematics of it or the people that really understand it, you know, is what ultimately, you know, makes the biggest difference.
You know, okay. Bob, last thing before we let you go, we know that you are the coach of the Renegades in the XFL. How excited are you about this new summer league that's about to come out?
You know, I'm really excited about it. We've got great TV contracts already. Great leadership in, you know, Oliver Luck, our commissioner, and Vince McMahon, owner. You know how it is. You've done it, Tiki, but working with older players that have played a lot of football.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are just on the outskirts of the NFL. Like, they're like maybe the last 10, 15 guys that got cut from every team. That's a lot of good football players.
Yeah, you're right. And they never get opportunities either because of the way that the NFL is structured.
Yeah, good for them. I think it'll be fun and exciting for for people to watch. I think it's going to be fun to coach and to, you know, work with these guys. I think there'll be exciting games. You know, so I think there's a market. 10 games, February, March, April. We start the weekend after the Super Bowl. And, you know, we're not trying to compete with the NFL. But I'm going to be in Dallas. All this whole area, Cowboy fans, heck, Cowboys are finished in the Super Bowl. Put the other jersey on for 10 games. Come watch us.
Yeah.
You know? I like it. Wait, was that a prediction that the Cowboys are going to – hey, Bob, was that a prediction that the Cowboys are going to be in the Super Bowl? I think I kind of heard that.
I hope so. You know, I always root for the team I'm near in my area, you know, and Dallas is only 2.5 hours down the road from us in Oklahoma, so I've always rooted for them since I've been here, and they do a great job. So, they're off to a great start, so that'd be great.
They got a shot.
Good philosophy, Coach. Good philosophy there, Coach.
I know the Giants don't want to hear that, right?
No, not especially after week one. We got our asses handed to us.
It doesn't matter what they hear, Bob. They got no shot for the Super Bowl anytime soon.
Hey, the book is called No Excuses, The Making of a Head Coach. Bob, we appreciate you hopping on with us for a little bit.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
All right, be good.
Man. Back to you. Yeah, that's should be a pretty good book. No, Mike, we didn't get a copy yet, did we? We get a copy yet?
I thought I saw one out there. Maybe,
I want to thumb through that. I didn't see
me
yet.
Too.
That looks pretty good. All right, we got the update from Ack coming up. After that, a little inbounds and out of bounds. Then Greg Anthony will do some NBA. We'll ask him about Kevin Durant's comments yesterday. You and I talked about that. Greg's going to be in studio. Obviously, we lost to France earlier today in FIBA. So how do we do that? You know, what does this mean moving forward? A few NBA items to hit. It's really around the corner. Camp's a week and a half away or so, whenever they get to, a little more than that, probably 2.5, 3 weeks. But NBA is not too far down the road, so we'll talk to Greg as well. Axe update right now. Here is Rich. All right, Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, at Tinky and Tierney, at Tinky Barber, Tinky, at Brandon Tierney. Week two tomorrow. Interesting game. Not saying it's going to be a great game, but it's certainly an interesting game. We'll see what Jameis has game number two. Mm. McCaffrey was in for 62 of the 62 offensive snaps by the Panthers. Boy, I wish I had him on my fantasy team again this year. You had him last year too, right?
I have him this year.
Oh, you do?
He's a keeper.
You know, I got to tell you, I don't usually squawk about draft position, like doing fantasy baseball. And last year, I think I had the 7th overall pick, and I wound up picking up Mahomes immediately. I drafted Garoppolo that night. I went back. I'm like, I'm picking up Mahomes. I don't really squawk about draft position. But this year, I feel like it's really unfair. If you had anything below six, because you went between the Barclays,
yeah,
the Alvin Kamaras, the Zekes, the McCaffreys, the Hopkinses. If you're liking that seven, you start going for the Connors, the Mixons. I think my team's terrible.
Yeah,
this
you
year.
Have to go for running back. You have to get running backs
you got
early. So unless you get one and you have a keeper league, you're not going to get them unless you draft high.
Top five.
So I had Kamara and Christian McCaffrey as my keepers.
See, I don't like keeper leagues either.
But
not for the NFL.
I love it because
of course, when you have Kamara and McCaffrey,
you're right.
Why wouldn't you love
and
it?
And then I drafted Josh Jacobs.
What's that?
Josh Jacobs from Oakland. He's on my bench now. A
couple of touchdowns for
you.
So
my starting team was Lamar Jackson, Cortland Sutton, Philip Dorsett, who had two touchdowns, Alshon Jeffrey, Kamara, Kep McCaffrey, Delaney Walker, and Tariq Cohen.
Are you you had to have 200 points.
Almost, 195.
It's PPR?
PPR.
Who's your defense? Not that it matters at that point.
Patriots.
All right, who's your kicker?
Mason Crosby.
Okay.
Yeah, he let me down.
Your team's going to be good. My team is. You're going to be hearing this a lot this year. My team's not very good. All right, inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Tiki, here we go. So, after a strong opening night ratings during the Thursday, which was a snooze fest in Chicago, we know that, the NFL expects to see some similar positive trends the rest of Week 1. The league announced earlier today that viewership rose 5% from 2018 and a massive 43% increase in digital streaming. So that becomes more and more viable, obviously. That followed an 86% digital streaming spike between 2017 and 2018. And the average game was viewed by 17 million people on TV and roughly 500,000 digitally. So those numbers continue to surge here. In or out, digital streaming of games will surpass broadcast viewership in the next 10 years.
I got to say out of bounds to this. I understand why it's heading this way. Like for instance, I told Samter and D-Cell this a couple days ago, BT. I'm on the verge of cutting our cord.
Are you really thinking about doing
because
that?
Because I have DirecTV in the basement, where my man cave, and I have a couple TVs set up to watch sports. It has DirecTV.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is on cable. But we don't watch a ton of cable. We watch all the apps, Netflix,
Hulu,
and all those things. So I haven't missed it. Our cable's been out, and I haven't missed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to cut the cable.
Wow.
But if I want to keep it, I can get it on my iPad. Like, I can still watch it because I have the services internet. Mm-hmm. I can get it on my iPad if I want to watch
and
something.
And then stream it to your big TV?
Stream it to my big TV, do whatever. But it's so much easier just to turn on the TV and watch a game.
It is.
And so that piece of it, I think, keeps it still, even 10 years from now, more on TV than on digital platforms.
I totally agree. I'm going to say out of bounds. Not that these numbers aren't interesting, but you have to understand what it says. An 86% digital streaming spike between 2017 and 2018. I mean, when nothing is streaming and then all of a sudden it is, of course you're going to have almost a 90% spike. Let's see what the spike is this year.
You're right.
It's going to be
It wasn't even available.
Exactly. So anybody who did it represents basically a percentage of a spike. So I'm with you. There's the conventional way of watching TV clearly has changed. It's changed in your home. It's changed in my home. It changed in my home long ago. You know, I've got all the different channels. I hear you, but I'm still a TV guy. I want my TV. I want to be able to watch my Yankees. I want to watch the Mets. I want to watch Fox. I want to watch CNN. I want to jump over to MSNBC. I want to hear all the political nonsense every night. I want to be able to jump around. I want to watch the NFL Network. I want to obviously watch CBS Sports Network, see what's going on when we're not on the air. So I'm still a TV guy. And I'm with you. I believe that that's going to always lead the way, at least for the next 10 years, as per the phrasing of the question.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Last year, the Houston Texans signed coveted and big-time free agent corner Aaron Colvin to a four-year, $34 million deal, $18 million guaranteed. However, he's taken the brunt of the breakdown against the Saints on Monday, especially his poor decisions on the game-winning drive, which is very tough to ignore. You really messed up. On the final pass play, not only did Colvin give Teddy Ginn far too much of a cushion, I think it was 9 or 10 yards, but he also touched Ginn on the ground, which allowed the Saints to call the timeout before the clock ran out. And we discussed that as well.
Yep.
Now the Texans had decided to cut Colvin, despite still owing him $7 million. In or out? the Texans cutting Colvin after just one bad performance is in or out.
It's cold-blooded, but it's inbounds. This is the National Football League, man. You're an at-will employee, even if you are making a decent amount of money. So, it's harsh, and I kind of hate this because this kid seems – no, he's not a kid, but you know what I mean. But it just feels like he didn't deserve that. It's the first game of the season. He hasn't had real action, but clearly they had different plans. So, yeah, it's inbounds.
This one is very easy for me. I'm with you, inbounds. You know, listen, to me, this takes you beneath the curtain here with the Houston Texans, where obviously he either didn't pay attention to detail that the rest of the 10 other guys on the field may have known. Maybe this is a perpetual issue in practice. Maybe he's sloppy in the film room. I mean, there's a multitude of if a guy.
That's a good point.
You know, I think about this, Tiki. If a guy is diligent, and a guy is buttoned up, and he's well-received, and he's hardworking, and he's really ready to play, and he has a bad game, you're not going to cut him. You're going to be unhappy with him. You might call him out in the film, but you don't cut him.
Yeah.
This tells me there's a greater issue, and maybe he's just not getting what the Texans need him to get.
Are you in or are you out?
This sucks for baseball. The Brewers now 5 back at the Cardinals here in the NL Central, but just 1 behind the Cubbies for the final wild card spot. However, how about this? Terrible news. Superstar Christian Yelich done for the season with a fractured kneecap that he suffered after fouling a pitch off his right knee, off his knee last night. Now, usually it's the shin or the toe. I can't even look at that. That had to be a slider or a cutter because it's obviously exploding into him and it's going to get in on you. There's only one way for it to go, and as a lefty hitter, that's at you. That stinks. Listen, 4th in the NL in batting average. Showing it. 2nd in home runs, 10th in ribbies, and 2nd in war. Question, if the season ended today, Yelich would be the NL MVP.
I'm going to say out of bounds, it's because I'm biased here. I love Cody Bellinger's season with the Dodgers. They have the best team in the National League. They're likely to get right back to the World Series again. He's got more RBIs and more runs scored than Yelich. Yelich is the man. I like, diversifying this award, especially for someone who deserves it as much as Cody Bellinger. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
Yep.
But Christian Yelich easily could have done this. And by the way, you're talking about that hit on his knee. It had to hit perfectly.
Ugh.
It hit perfectly.
Ugh. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen the shin. Pardon me, the kneecap too often. Not like that.
No.
Usually, like you what slide.
It's got to be like a perfect foul ball to hit right at the apex or the point of his knee and crack it.
But even just the sheer, like, the physics of it, I mean, it's almost impossible for the ball to direct that closely,
right,
you know, below the belt. As I said, generally it's the shin, it's the toe. Bottom line is it's terrible, and it's really bad for baseball. But my answer is inbounds. He would be the NL MVP for me. Obviously, the numbers, you know, certainly justify it to a degree. And Lorenzo Cain's a good player. Mike Moustakas, who we had on the show a couple of years back, good kid. We had him in the studio. We like him. Former Royal, 31 bombs. And, you know, Grandel's been playing pretty well. And Ryan Braun's been showing some pop, obviously. But I think you can make the case that from Yelich to the second best player on that team, the gap is wider than any other one to second best player on any team where there's an MVP candidate.
You think Pete Alonso's in the conversation?
He should be. He's going to hit 50 home runs. Is he now defining the conversation? Top five? Votes?
Yeah, definitely getting votes.
Yeah, he's going to get votes. He's top five. I mean, yeah, Pete Alonso's top five. Yep.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, the one thing that you look at, he's the 40-30 guy, 40 home runs, 30 stolen bases. The only one that's even close to that is Acuna, who is at 38 home runs. He'll get there. He'll be a 40-30 guy this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Acuna for the...
He might be a 40-40 guy.
He might be because he's currently 38 home runs, 34 stolen bases. In the next 15, how many games left? 15, 16? Something
today,
like that.
September 11th.
And maybe he gets 6 stolen bases by then, but who knows.
What's his batting average, 280?
283. Yeah,
that's not going to win him the MVP.
No,
he's going to get a few of them.
He could be a 40-40 guy this year.
Oh yeah,
which is interesting.
He's incredible.
Oh, he's great.
It looks like it's easy, and it's not. You know, I'm always. I mean, listen, any guy who jumps, you know, in traffic and throws down a dunk or did what you do in the open field is amazing to me. But guys that hit baseballs and make it look easy like these guys do, I don't know how they're that good.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.